Our reading this morning is from the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 12 to 21. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man the many will be made righteous. The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Good morning, everybody. When I was at secondary school, I had a friend who got me good things. His dad was involved at some level with Bromley Football Club, and each week we were able to go to the games. I paid nothing. And I could enjoy having a soft drink in the players' lounge. We sort of had an all, you know, we could just go wherever we liked, really. So we loved investigating inside the stadiums, and it was great fun. To be honest, we didn't watch a lot of the football. We were running around and we were playing football at the side of the pitch, but it was just a great experience. But it was because of my dad's friend, my friend's dad, it was because of my friend's dad that I could go. If I turned up the next week at the gates without him, they would have said £5 or whatever it was in those days. And I wouldn't have been able to go to the players' bar or anywhere else. It was through him that I could benefit from this experience. And who you are friends with or who you know may bring you certain benefits. Hopefully you're not friends with people just because they bring benefits, but it does. And this morning we've already looked at how banks sort of encourage you, be part of us and get some money or get this or get that. And they encourage you, they want you to be their friend in effect so that you get benefits. Some of you, I know some of the adults, are big Paw Patrol fans. And you can see, when you watch Paw Patrol, you can see that if you're one of the dogs in the Paw Patrol, there are many benefits. You get to go on adventures. You get your own pup pack. And you get a vehicle. I mean, it is incredible. If you are a dog, why would you want to be in the house with someone and just get walked on a daily basis when you could be in the Paw Patrol and you could go on adventures and save the world? That's what I'm talking about. And that's what happens when you're friends with Ryder. And this morning we're going to consider, who are you with? It's part of our Easter series, One Man Changed Everything. And our passage presented two people, Adam and Jesus. And the reality of life is that you're with one of these. You're either with Adam or you're either with Jesus. And the Bible doesn't give us a third place. It says, oh, you're on the fence. No, you're either with Adam or you're either with Jesus. And this morning we're going to consider what it means to be with Adam. And then really, what are the benefits to being with Jesus? Because when you read our passage again, you see actually there's not a huge amount of benefit of being with Adam. So we're going to start this morning by looking at Adam. And verse 12 of our passage tells us that sin came into the world through one man. We have this, our series, One Man Changed Everything. One man. Sin came into the world through one man. Adam, through his joint decision with his wife, opened the doorway to sin entering the world. This one act changed everything. Changed everything. The whole world was affected by sin and death. And we see that around us, don't we? We see the effects of sin and the effects of death around us. And the death that's said here is both spiritual and physical. It's spiritual because human beings were alienated from God. There was a distance between God and human beings. Adam was cast out from the presence. That's what this picture's from. It's a prison picture of Adam and Eve being cast out from the presence of God. Can you imagine that? Being walking with God day by day, knowing his presence, and then suddenly, doors closed, out you go. But also physical death. We're all faced with one certainty. We will all die. But this is not something that just happened way back when and we can say, oh, it's Adam and Eve's fault. They blew it for all of us. Paul says, so death spread to all men because all sinned. I love this t-shirt. Houston, we are the problem. And you have to make a decision. What is the problem in the world? Because there is a problem in the world. And the problem is us. We can look at others and say, well, I'm not as bad as them. But actually, when we look at our own hearts, we see, hey, actually, I do things wrong. I've hurt people. Adam brought sin in, and we live under its shadow. And as a result of that, and as a result of our sin, we find ourselves in Adam, with Adam. And the result of being with Adam is death. We have that in verse 15. Many died through one man's trespass. Condemnation. Verse 16, for the judgment following one man's trespass brought condemnation. And then it talks about the reign of death. Because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man. And we see that, don't we? It's inevitable. And it strikes fear in some of us. Fear of not knowing what's next. We can try to avoid it. We can try and look young. We can try and keep ourselves healthy and fit. But one day is what we all face. And the result of being in Adam and being with Adam is sin resulting in death. Sin resulting in death. And this is where we all begin. This is where we start in Adam, with Adam. Your second option, Jesus. Verse 15 says, but the gift, okay, it's not something earned, it's a gift. Is not like the trespass. For if many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to many? The free gift is life and right standing before God. As Adam and Eve were sent out from God's presence, through Jesus, we find that we can come back into his presence. We can be the barrier of sin that was between us and him goes. Because Jesus took it all away. And we find we've got right standing before God. So I can stand here before you knowing I do things wrong. But knowing that before God, because of Jesus, I can stand before him. I don't have to, oh, I'm not good enough. I can say, I'm not good enough. But Jesus, you've made me good enough. And it overflows to the many. Any who put their faith in Jesus Christ, it overflows. C.E.B. Cranfield, who's a Bible commentator, says this. He says, that one single misdeed should be answered in judgment. That is perfectly understandable. We get that, don't we? Hey, if you do this wrong, or the law says, if you do this wrong, this is the consequence. We get that. You do this, this is what happens. And he says, but that the accumulated sins and guilt of all the ages should be answered by God's free gift. That is miracle of miracles. Utterly beyond human comprehension. So that judgment that you face because of your action is answered with God's free gift. This is grace. It's getting what you don't deserve. Deserve punishment, deserve judgment, and yet you're given grace. You don't face that, and you're given right standing and right relationship with God. It's incredible. And we deserve our life in Adam. We deserve that judgment for our wrongdoing. Yet in Christ we find this free gift, forgiveness and life. Verse 18, it says, therefore, as one trespass, the one sin led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification. That's right standing before God for all men. For all men. One act of righteousness. As Adam's one sin led to the fall of everybody, so Jesus' one act of righteousness, never sinned, walked that road to the cross, leads to life for all men. For everyone who will put their trust in Jesus. And this morning we celebrate that there was an empty tomb. You can look into it. If you think, I'm just not sure about this Christianity, you can look into it. There's evidence to suggest that there was an empty tomb. There's concrete evidence that cannot be explained. In my mind, and I think if you look into it, you'll say, actually, it's very difficult to explain how there was an empty tomb. You can look at all the different reasons. But the fact is, Jesus is alive. He's alive. His sinless life was given in the place of sinful humanity. He was condemned so that we could be free. On Good Friday, we celebrated that sin no longer has a hold on us, no longer holds us captive. And today we celebrate that death no longer has a hold on us. Because Jesus was blameless, he broke the power of sin and death. Verse 21, so that as sin reigned in death, grace might also reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Adam, we have sin resulting in death. In Jesus, we have grace resulting in life and life eternal. So the question for each of us in this room, question for everybody out there, everybody in the world, is who are you with? Are you with Adam or are you with Jesus? And you might think, oh, I don't know. But at some stage, you've got to make that decision. Who are you going to be with? You're either with Jesus, you've turned away from your old ways, you've turned away from your old way of living, and you said, right, I want to live differently. I want you to help me. I want you to be number one in my life. I want to live for you rather than for myself. That's the decision. That's the decision that everybody makes who wants to become a Christian. They say, actually, I've been walking my own way, or I've been following this idea. I recognize that isn't the right way, and that's in Adam. And I say, actually, no, I want to follow your way, Jesus. I turn from that way. I choose to live a different way with God's help. Okay, it's not that we've got to muscle up some strength to be good people. No, it's with God's help that we walk this journey with him. You have to decide. You have to decide, who are you going to be with? But I want to take this a little bit further this morning, because our passage speaks of reigning in life. Reigning in this life. It speaks of a life of victory. Jesus was victorious over the powers of sin, death, darkness, and the enemy. And we are to live in this victory through the power of the Spirit. Victory over temptation. Victory when walking through trials, victory over fear. Phil Moore, he asked this question. He says, are we acting like men and women who think that they are beaten? Do we live as men and women who understand that Satan's kingdom is reeling from Jesus' killer blow and that we only have to press forwards in him to win new families, new cities, and new nations for Jesus Christ? I want you to think this morning, do I live my life? Have you given your life to Jesus? Do I live my life like I'm beaten? Or do I live in the victory that Jesus won? Jesus is alive today, but he's alive tomorrow. He's alive every day. From 2,000 years ago, he's been alive. And he's ruling and reigning and he's victorious. And we get to enjoy that life with him. It doesn't mean it's all plain sailing. But it does mean that we can walk in his victory day by day, holding fast to him. One man changed everything. And each day we can live in the power of the resurrection. He's alive. He's won the victory. And he's coming back again for his church, the bride. And until that day, we as believers of Jesus Christ have the task of sharing this with others. Sharing it. Being bold, knowing that there's victory. Being bold through our actions and words. Let's commit to being bold for him because he is alive. Hallelujah. He's alive. And it's the best news going. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for sending your son. Lord, we thank you that Jesus is the one person who changed everything. Lord, this morning we can stand here before you knowing that there's no barriers in between us and you because Jesus has removed them. He's taken our sins away. But Lord, we know that in this world where we hear of suffering, when we heard of it today, we know that our final enemy, death itself, has been defeated because you are alive. And we look forward to that day when we will spend eternity with you. No more suffering, no sickness, no death. It's all dealt with because of what you've done. And Lord, we want to pray, would you help us to live in that victory day by day, the victory of Jesus Christ, rose from the dead. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.